Happy New Year, everybody. We're glad you're here to spend the first day of the year here worshiping God with us here at Asbury. There's something next week I'm real excited about that's starting at the 10 o'clock hour. For the next two 10 o'clock hour Sundays, Reverend Susan Carlson will be doing work with dreams, dream work. Can you turn me down just a hair? I hear some ringing. Susan has been trained in dream work. Take advantage of this study. When I was at Marble Collegiate in New York, Sherry and I did a lot of this work, and it's fascinating. And I really encourage you to be at the 10 o'clock hour the next two Sundays. Come to the 10 o'clock hour always, but this is especially going to be a great study. Fascinating. Pat Andrus isn't here with us today, is she? She turned 80 on Christmas Eve. We're going to, if you haven't wrote her a note or have called her, give her a call, if you will. She had knee replacement surgery not too long ago, so she's not back here with us. We'll sing to her when she gets here. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. So how many days of Christmas are there? That's right, 12. I always have to remind myself that the 12 days of Christmas are not about the 12 shopping days before Christmas. The 12 days of Christmas actually start Christmas Day. And so we are in what's called the season of Christmastide, also known as 12-tide. The Christmas season goes all the way to January 5th and ends on January 6th, which is the day of Epiphany. Now, for the early church, for the early Christians, Epiphany was just as important as Christmas and as Easter, because it celebrates that Christ not only came for the Jews, but also for Gentiles. These days, we take that for granted because the majority of Christians are Gentile. But it wasn't always that way. The first Christians were Jewish, the first teachers, the first leaders, the first writers, the first prophets, the disciples, all Jewish. What in the world do we do with these Gentiles who want to follow the teachings of Christ? Big controversy. Lots of arguing and debating. Peter and Paul especially got into it. One arguing for exclusion, one arguing for inclusion. Into the minds of these early leaders was a story that had been passed down about the birth of Jesus that probably had an impact on the debate. Remember that some of the first people who recognized that Jesus was from God were Gentiles. Those magi, remember them? Don't forget about them. Yes, the shepherds were Jewish. They were first, but those Gentiles were not far behind them, maybe a year or two. And they not only worshiped and honored Jesus, brought him gifts, remember they helped save his life. And so maybe we should allow Gentiles to be part of this Jesus movement. I'm sure the Apostle Paul gladly pushed for that interpretation of the story. Epiphany celebrates that Christ not only came for Jews, but for Gentiles, for everyone. This is an inclusive God we're worshiping. An inclusive God who made us and all creation. And so the central story of Epiphany is the story of those wandering magi from the east. Now, Epiphany means manifestation and discovery. So Epiphany involves seeing, but Epiphany also involves listening. Discoveries are not only made with our eyes, they are also made with our ears and with our hearts by listening. The wise men see a star. We all see stars, but we don't all go on a journey. When we see a star, the star is communicating something to the Magi. They are listening, and it takes them on a journey. And then the text says, then King Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. After they had listened to him, they went on their way. On coming to the house, notice it's not a manger anymore. Jesus is in a house. They saw the child. Notice it's not a babe anymore. It's a child. After they saw the child with his mother Mary and they bowed down and worshiped him, they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their home by another way. And so the Magi first listened to Herod. Then they listened to what? Their dream. Good timing for this text. You can learn how to do that next Sunday at the 10 o'clock hour. They listened to their dream, which to them was a divine message. So they were listening to God. These magi, these wise men, were good listeners. And because they were good listeners, they go home by another way, as James Taylor likes to remind us in one of his songs. And the Christ child is saved. And this story becomes instrumental in the development of Christianity. At this time of year, 3 years ago, I had a real bad case of the flu, sick in bed. In order to try to take my mind off of my fever and body aches, I took some medication and decided to watch some television. And as I was flicking the remote control, I came upon an old episode of MASH. MASH, of course, was a popular show that ran throughout the 70s. The setting is an army surgical hospital in South Korea during the Korean War. The show was filled with memorable characters like Hawkeye and Klinger and Hot Lips Houlihan. Another wonderful, memorable character was a little fella named Radar. And when I looked up at the TV screen, Radar was actually talking to me. I'm not kidding. He was directly talking to me. His face is huge on the screen, taking up almost the entire screen, and he is looking down at me in the bed. And I reached over for the thermometer and took my temperature again. I thought I was hallucinating, but I wasn't. Radar is looking down at me on the bed, and he says, how are you feeling? I'm not kidding. And he's waiting for me to respond. And then he says, are you in much pain? I said, yes, Radar, please help me. And then he starts to try to pick me up. I'm not kidding you. He actually tries to lift me up. And he says, you know what he said? He said, my, you're a heavy one. I'm not kidding. That's what he said. He said, I'm going to need some help lifting you, which really made me feel good. Now, I know you think this is an hallucination, that I must have had way too much Theraflu in my body, but it really did happen. And then I figured out what was going on. The creators of MASH did something very, very creative, something they had never done before. They decided to film that entire episode from the perspective of a wounded soldier on a stretcher. And the wounded soldier could not talk. Part of the injury was to his throat, so he could not say a thing. So someone in the show is often looking down at him, asking him questions, which he could not respond to. And the camera was always looking up at the people as though you, the viewing audience, was in the bed. So you could see how with my fever and tons of Theraflu in me, I thought Radar was actually speaking to me. But so the camera acted as the eyes of the soldier for the entire episode. You never see what the soldier looks like, because the entire show is filmed from his perspective. And he has this throat wound, he can't talk. So the entire episode is from the perspective of a wounded soldier in bed who can't talk. All he can do is what? Observe and listen. The man in charge of the MASH unit, as you know, is Colonel Potter, a very pleasant, easygoing older man who knows how to stay calm in chaotic situations. But in this particular episode, Colonel Potter appears to be very upset, even angry, and he's on edge, snapping at everyone, and nobody knows why. Nobody knows what's going on with him. A couple of days pass by, and Colonel Potter makes a visit to the bedside of the soldier and says, "Hello, Private, I'm Colonel Potter." And we see the right hand of the soldier reach out to shake Potter's hand. And it's as if it is our hand that is shaking the colonel's. And then Colonel Potter says, "Where are you from?" And by this time, the soldier is well enough to write things down on a small handheld chalkboard. So we're all writing on the chalkboard. And we see him write the word Texas. And Potter says, "You know, every soldier from Texas that's ever come through this unit has always had a good handshake. I make it a point to meet every soldier that comes through this unit. I'm sorry that it's taken me a couple of days to come meet you. It's just my mind's been a little preoccupied. You see, I have a wife at home. She's the best thing that's ever happened to me. I would do anything for Mildred. I miss her terribly. But would you believe I forgot our anniversary? I was just so preoccupied by things here. But how could I have forgotten that?" Colonel Potter leaves. A little later, Hawkeye comes to check on the soldier, and as Hawkeye is talking to him, the soldier starts writing on the chalkboard. He writes, "Forgot his anniversary." "Oh," says Hawkeye, "so that's what's going on." And you can already see in Hawkeye's mind that he's strategizing, doing something to try to help Colonel Potter in this situation. Well, Unfortunately, the meds kicked in and I fell asleep with about 15 minutes left in the show. So I didn't get to see what Hawkeye did. I woke up right at the end when they are waving goodbye to the soldier who was well enough to be sent home. Everyone was happy, including Colonel Potter. I don't know what they did to make him feel better, but they did it. But the important thing for the purpose of this sermon is that to know that the reason everything became better is because someone listened. The wounded soldier could not talk. All he could do was observe and listen with his ears and with his eyes and with his heart. Every other character in the show was so busy talking, they couldn't figure out what was going on with Colonel Potter. It was the person who couldn't talk, who didn't talk, who could only listen, that solved the problem. Listening can be so challenging. There are times we do it beautifully. When we're easily connecting with someone, we all know that feeling when we especially connect with someone, they speak and we listen and there's this great connection. But most of the time, in this fast-paced, noisy world of ours, it is challenging to be a good listener. Sometimes we'll be quiet as someone talks to us. We're thinking that we're listening to them. But much of the time, we're just being quiet until they stop talking so that we can then express our own agenda and ideas. So what we keep doing is offering monologues to each other instead of listening with our ears, our eyes, and our hearts. The great Swiss psychiatrist, Dr. Paul Tournier, what a great spiritual giant he was. He believed that listening was one of the world's major issues. He said, "Listen to all the conversations of our world between nations as well as individuals. They are, for the most part, dialogues of the deaf." And so he wrote a book called A Listening Ear, Reflections on Christian Caring. It'd be a good book for all of us to read this year. A Listening Ear, Reflections on Christian Caring. Tournier says, in order to really understand, we need to listen, not reply. We need to listen long and attentively. In order to help anybody to open his or her heart, we have to give them time, asking only a few questions as carefully as possible in order to help them better explain their experience. The art and practice of listening is interesting in that the better we listen to people, the better we are at listening to God. And vice versa. The better we are at listening to God, the better we are at listening to people. And it is life-changing, folks, transforming. Listening is life-changing. We don't become set in our ways. We stretch, we grow, we become open to the movement of God's Spirit. And we can go home by another way. And so as we start this new year with all of our resolutions, I encourage all of us to be like the Magi, those wise men, and strive to be good listeners. Let us pray. God of star watchers, You call us to ventures untried, paths untrodden, and perils unknown. Guide us and empower us. Help us to listen to you and to others and to all creation. Let us be alert for epiphanies. Let us use our gifts to provide nurture and companionship. Give us each day some work to accompany our lives, some suffering to sanctify our spirits, some good to do in comforting others. Give to us, O Lord, the Spirit of Jesus the Christ throughout the coming days and year. In Christ's name, amen.